A report out this week has looked at the care of patients aged over 80 who died in UK hospitals within a month of undergoing surgery, and it's found that only a third were considered to have received good care. Expert assessors for the National Confidential Inquiry into Patient Outcome and Death, NCPOD, looked at 820 cases in a three-month period during 2008 at hospitals in England, Wales and Northern Ireland. The report's author, Ian Martin, says most patients were admitted as emergencies by junior doctors without timely input of elderly care specialists. One in four hospitals who sent back a questionnaire to NCPOD said they had no well-resourced acute pain services. If you look at fractured neck of femur, the 24-hour surgery target set in 2001 for patients who are deemed fit for surgery is only being met in 28% of cases. The report also says greater attention should be given to improving the fluid and nutritional status of patients needing urgent surgery, and it calls for specialist elderly care input at all stages of the patient pathway. Ian Martin, the report's author, is on the line. Before we look at the findings in detail, Martin, could you just explain briefly, certainly for our international listeners, about NCPOD and what it does?
National CPOD is an independent and charitable organisation led by doctors, but they're doctors at the coalface. And the idea of the confidential inquiry really arises out of other industries where we know that if you allow people to report problems in an anonymous and confidential way, that you're likely to learn a lot. So we operate by identifying samples of cases that we want to look at. In every hospital in the United Kingdom, we have a designated local reporter, and those local reporters on the ground in the hospitals identify the cases for us.
Great. You talk about good care. Could you define what you mean by that?
We ask our advisors to peer review the records of the cases. We ask them to consider whether they would find the care that was given acceptable for themselves or for a close family member. It's a fairly simple test.
Anyone who sees this report gets warned in the foreword that it is a depressing read. Could you just tell us a little bit about what the depressing points about it are?
Only a third of patients were judged to have received good care.
Yes.
So that alone is, you know, disappointing. But if we look in behind some of the detail there, well, one of the things that's particularly important for older people is that they get timely surgery when they need it. And despite all the guidance and efforts that have gone before, not least in our report of 99, we still see that one in five patients are having delays which really shouldn't have happened.
Yes. Junior doctors get mentioned a lot in the report, don't they, that they fail to seek appropriate advice from a consultant.
Yeah.
Would you describe it as a report that sort of, you know, bashes junior doctors or you know, obviously there's wider issues than that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it must come down to training. The signs and symptoms in older people are not the same as in a young, fit population. If you take the case, for example, of older people with fairly non-specific abdominal symptoms, you know, diarrhea, vomiting, we identified that quite a lot of those patients ended up on medical wards being looked after by junior doctors who thought they had some form of infective gastroenteritis. And, you know, there was significant delay until a surgical opinion was sought to actually sort that out. Now, so we're not bashing junior doctors, but what we are saying is, firstly, there's possibly a training issue which needs to be addressed. But secondly, it's up to consultants to make sure that when they delegate tasks, they have assured themselves the junior doctor is competent to actually deal with it.
If we look at the surgeons that responded to the questionnaire, just over half said that there was regular formal input from elderly care specialist colleagues. And in many cases, this was just a weekly ward round or an encore service. Did the advisors in their feedback and the people that responded to the questionnaires give any background to that, at what, you know, what the problems there were?
Documentation of consultant involvement is often very poor.
Yes.
And our advisors, when they go through the case records, find it very difficult often to identify whether a consultant actually has or has not seen the patient.
Mm.
But we know from, again, other studies that if you are sick and you need the care of a physician, you really need that promptly. And by that we mean within 12 hours. And that's a recommendation that's been endorsed by the Royal College of Physicians. These patients, 85% of them were admitted as emergencies, and we don't think that asking for them to be seen by a specialist within 12 hours, because that's the standard we expect for everybody else.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, this has had lots of media coverage here in the UK, and it's very much focused on the negative findings. Is there anything that you think that should be highlighted that people need to be less worried about?
Overall, in terms of making the diagnosis and deciding on the need for an operation, consultant involvement was high.
Yes,
and clearly, that's a good thing. There is evidence that the input of healthcare for older people has increased. There are more dedicated funded sessions, particularly for orthopedics. For general surgery in particular, when the operation was done, the vast majority of those operations were being done by consultants. And indeed, most of the anaesthetics, and particularly for the sicker patients, were all being administered by consultant anaesthetists. So there are some good things there. There's no doubt about that. However, we shouldn't be complacent.
Yes, okay. Along with the report, you've also launched a toolkit.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that and how it should be used?
What we do is take the key parameters from the report and generate them into an audit toolkit for individuals to audit their local practice. And it's very often a valuable tool for junior doctors who want some guidance on how to actually set about it and what topics would be good to look at. Freely available for download on www.ncpod.org.uk.
Thank you very much, Ian. Is there one thing in particular that you think should be addressed as a matter of urgency, you know, you wouldn't expect to see in an NCPod report in a few years' time?
One of the exciting things is that commissioners have now taken an interest in these sorts of areas. The British Orthopaedic Association and the British Geriatric Society have collaborated well. They've established a national audit database for all patients admitted with fractured neck or femur, and the standards that are measured in that audit are actually incorporated into a best practice tariff. So we've actually linked now quality to the payment that a hospital receives. That's an exciting development because up until now, of course, it's been target-led. I would hope that that initiative would demonstrate that the standards in particular of involvement of geriatricians at an early stage and removing unnecessary delays from the process would be driven by that initiative. So I think that's the exciting challenge for the future, and I would hope we'd see progress in 5 years.
Ian Martin, thank you very much for joining us today.
Not at all.